That is Larry Razavi and his out-of-town checks with our theme, Musicians Come and Play. Means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program. And it is program number 429 in that continuing series. As you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. We're at 9 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon, temperature reading of 77 degrees, overcast skies here in central Minnesota. And we have our guest on the line. We're going to bring him in right now and say good morning to Mr. Mike Selecki. Mike, how are you doing?
Really good. Nice to join you this morning, Si.
Well, very good. Well, we have been in identical spots several times over time now and really have not connected yet. I understand you were at the Minnesota Music Hall of Fame banquet here just a couple months back, and I didn't find out about it till after I was gone.
Yeah, that was sort of a last-minute thing for us, and it was great to be able to be there. It's just an absolutely wonderful event. It was great to see all the different genres of music that were supported there. So.
Absolutely, you bet. So fun time for sure. Well, Mike, for the folks that don't know anything about you, can you fill us in where you're born and raised, a little bit about the family, and give us a little background?
Sure, you bet. You know, I grew up in Durant, Iowa, which is that's about 20 miles west of the Davenport Quad Cities area down in Iowa, and home of the Durant Polka Fest, which ran for many, many years, starting in 1973. So grew up there and went to school all through high school right there in town, right there in Durant, a great little small town community, about 2,000 people or so, something like that. So, and mom and dad, I'm a first generation American. Mom and dad came over from Romania and Germany and ended up there in eastern central Iowa, and we're in Durant, and I got one brother, one sister, and we had today when you look back at it, it feels like a very idyllic childhood, you know, small town Midwest sort of upbringing, and I wouldn't have traded that for anything.
Well, that's great. So when did music come onto the scene?
You know, I really got exposed to old-time music through the Durant Polka Fest. Like I said, 1973 was the very first one, and went to that, heard a lot of different bands. You know, Peter and Paul Wendinger were there that first year. Ray Dershner's Rainbow Valley Dutchman were there the first year. And, you know, hearing all those bands, I was really kind of hooked right away at the start. You know, they made it look really, really easy, especially as I was watching the guys in Ray's band play. You know, you watch them and they make it look like it's just second nature. And, you know, when you're a 13-year-old kid, you see that and go, well, geez, I can do that, you know.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's great. And so did you, what instruments do you play, first of all, Mike?
You know, I started on accordion with my own band back in Durant and played accordion. Piano was my very first instrument. Started that when I was 7, much from the urging of my parents. And then the brass instruments I've been playing with old-time bands for years. So trumpet, flugelhorn, trombone. Of course, I love vocal harmonies, so anytime I can do some singing along with those bands, I will. And, of course, while I was playing with Carl for years, Carl and Country Dutchman, Carl would do a lot of concertina solos, so I'd get bored every now and then, so I had to find an instrument to bide my time while he played the solo, so I picked up banjo along the way, too. So I won't claim to be a real player of the banjo because it's strictly rhythm, but I have a good time with that anyway.
Oh, that's great. So how did you ever run into a guy by the name of Carl Hartwig?
Well, you know, Carl grew up in Orion, Illinois, on a farm there, which is fairly close to the Quad Cities as well. So, you know, we kind of crossed paths through old-time music in the early 1970s there. He had a family band, of course, at the time. His mom and both sisters and dad were all involved and whatnot. And saw them play in parades and at the Durant Festival, of course. So, you know, kind of ran across him there. I had my band at the time. We were called the Polka Chips. And from 1974 through 1981, that was my primary focus. But then after the Chips were finished, Carl had gotten in touch with me and asked if I'd be interested in playing. So that was very fortunate for me because it was something to fill the gap there that was left after my band was finished.
Absolutely. So did you happen to get to play with a guy by the name of Don Burkhart?
Oh, absolutely. Don is my musical hero in old-time music.
Isn't that true? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's just no one that had a bigger influence on me personally. And I know originally the three horns that were in the front row section for Carl and the Country Dutchman when I joined was myself, Amy Sampson, and now Amy Hayden, yeah. And Don Burkhart. And oh my goodness, Amy and I learned so much playing with Don. You can't pay enough money for lessons to learn the kinds of things that we did from Don along the way. Just a fantastic natural player, and I'll be forever indebted to him for what he taught us and what I learned along the way.
Well, it was a sad day. I think that was right. Was it before Christmas or around Thanksgiving when Don's wife called me and told me that Don had passed away? It was just a sad day. I've had him on the music show here several times, and he was just so good. I mean, you just value those older musicians and the experience that they had. He was so good.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, there's a bunch of others on that list as well for me personally. You mm-hmm. know, Frank Melmer, he's from the area here and played for a lot of years with Jerry Schuft and Corpus. He had the Coppersmiths. Another great, great musician that I always looked up to. And of course, Ron Natterney, he played with both Frank and Don at one point in his career as well. Just fantastic players, and I just have a huge amount of admiration for all of them.
You bet. You bet. Well, Mike, we've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota, and we're going to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, but I also need to take a break right now. We have Kirby, one of our radio announcers, on remote right now, and he needs to get a break in also right now. So we'll just put you on hold for a minute if we can, Mike, and then we'll come back to you if that's all right.
We'll talk to you in a little bit.
All righty. So with that, we send you out to Holding Ford. Kirby Hemish on location.
Well, thank you very much, Cy, as we're back out here at Art in Motion in the Boho Cafe. It's, I think, a big day going on here today. Lily's joining me once again. Lily, we're interrupting a program on our show on our station called Musicians Come and Play. Okay. And coincidentally, at the Boho Cafe right now, musicians are playing.
Yeah, we have Vocal Envy. They're just about to get on stage and perform their second performance of the Longest Day recital that they've put together. They're an a cappella group, so that means all vocals, no instruments.
Sure.
And they all have different singing parts, and they're singing musicals.
These are your pals, right? These are your friends?
One of them is a good friend of mine I went to high school and college with. So.
And talking with you off the air, Lily, these music events, this isn't the only one that happens out here at the Boho Cafe.
No, not at all. We have music basically every weekend. Every Saturday from 7 to 9, we do live music and have the wood fire pizza oven. And that's outside under the pavilion. And then most Sundays we have a concert as well.
Sure.
Or two. Today we have two.
Oh, you have another one?
We do, actually. I forgot about that. We have I believe it's Silver Strings Guitar Ensemble at 4. And I think it's a guitar school.
Gotcha.
And teacher and students. So
nothing going on today.
Just nothing going
two bands
on. No,
and the, an art workshop.
Really chill day. Yeah.
It's a fun experience and fun environment right now as well. Lily, you were just in there and you said, like, wow, it's getting fun inside. So
yeah,
plenty of people coming out to the Boho Cafe today.
Yeah.
You're hoping for people to come out on July 23rd. third, too, aren't you?
I am hoping for people to come out that day, yes. We have our vintage bike show, kind of our, like, second year running this program. We partner with the Cycling Museum of Minnesota to put it on, and it's kind of a, they coined the Bring Your Old Bike, BYOB, and
nice.
Folks bring their old bikes, and we have five different categories, one being the bike I want the most. Some of them are, like, best restored, other categories, but there really isn't, like, a year that means
sure.
that's, like, the cutoff for vintage. It's just kind of like if you think it's old and you think it's cool, bring it out. Mary Bruno printed us up the coolest poster ever that we're going to be, that's kind of like part of the registration. You'll get one of those cool posters to take home. We have prizes for the coolest bikes of each category.
Yeah.
And then folks from CMM, Cycling Museum of Minnesota, our leadership team, and then someone from the crowd will be the judges at that
okay.
event. And then we also are having an author releasing his book called Diminished by One, which is a documentary about John Egbers, who is a local St. Cloud cyclist who unfortunately was killed in 2018 doing the Trans-American Bike Race. And so this author, Heath Ryan, is an Australian-Canadian author, and he's picked up this story. And he was out here last year in researching for this book, and this year he'll be back releasing it
cool.
here. So that'll be kind of cool. I think it's important to, you know, talk about that really hard reality that bikes and cars don't have the greatest relationship, and like hundreds, and I actually think there was over 1,000 cyclists were killed on the roads last year. So kind of use that moment to
raise awareness.
Some,
get better at this, give them some room on the side of the road. And cycling, of course, we're at mm-hmm. Art in Motion, you know, mm-hmm. the Wobegon Trail, so far away from us right here.
Oh, within, just, you know, 40 feet very far away.
So yeah, I mean, it's something that truck just pulled in with three bikes in the back as well. So I mean, everybody, you know, this is kind of a nice spot to get out there and get going, and so people to give some space to those cyclists. How did the vintage bike show, Greg just was bored and wanted to do something, or you guys
pretty
said
much.
We should do this, or how did it come about?
That's pretty much it. You hit the nail on the head. That's how a lot of things happen.
Greg just gets these wild ideas, and
yes.
next thing you know, there's a...
It's Lily, we're going to do this, and I'm like, I have never done that before. Okay.
man with a vision. I like it though. He's
yeah.
got some gumption. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
no,
that's
cool.
the 23rd of July.
Yes.
All day event or morning registration or
starts at 11 to 2 ish.
Okay.
Folks can, you know, go on a ride after that or during that time if they want. So the day it could become a full day event for some people, but I'm trying to keep the programming to like 11 to 2.
Do you remember like the first bicycle ever? It's that huge big wheel. And then
yeah.
What do you think anyone's gonna
farthing?
Yeah.
We had one here last year, and someone dressed up with a purple top hat and like vintage clothes and actually rode it.
Awesome.
And it was super cool. So
I hope they won. I mean, for the commitment alone.
They didn't.
Maybe it's
but
not about winning.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
I think the winner was it was a Harley Davidson bicycle that had like a little headlight. And the wheels were wooden, and the guy had restored every aspect of it. It was really cool.
Nice.
I don't know a whole lot about vintage bikes, but I learned a lot, and it was really exciting.
Absolutely. Lily, real quick, what's going on in the art workshop today at 1?
The art workshop today at 1 is a party with paint and poems, and that's for elementary age kiddos from 1st to 8th grade with Antoinette Lee. She's the owner of No Limit Painting from St. Cloud, and it is a Lyricality program, which is a poetry collective, and they partnered with, it's kind of a complicated relationship,
cool.
but it's really cool. So
yeah.
they're going to be doing some painting and poems, and it's going to be a three-part series, and they're free, and people can just come in and do it. They don't have to sign up or anything.
Yeah, nice. No registration or fee. Just come on in and paint.
Yeah.
I like it. Lily?
Yes.
Thanks for stopping by once again, and have some fun. I'm excited to hear about the vintage bike show someday. I might have to actually make my way out here.
You should come for it. Either bring a bike or just come to see.
Yeah,
I mean, we have bikes to see.
My bike's just like a 2017, so I don't think it would fall into the vintage category. But seeing the penny farthing, I'm hoping for that.
Maybe you got to go dumpster diving. Greg found a dumpster bike the other day, and it's pretty cool. So
that's great.
Yeah.
All right, Lily, we'll let you be. Thanks for stopping by right here. Si, we are at Art in Motion for the Boho Cafe, and they got bands, two of them today, two musical performances, one starting just a moment ago, another one coming up later this afternoon. They're going to get the Woodfire Pizza coming up on the way. I'm going to speak with Greg coming around the corner in about 10-15 minutes.
All right. Thanks, Kirby. And we'll be back with you in about 10, 15 minutes. Sounds great. So back to our Musicians Come and Play program. And we're visiting with Mike Selecki. And so it's time to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market. Cy here for the St. Joe Meat Market. Did you know that the St. Joe Meat Market still grinds hamburger fresh daily several times a day and even more often on the busier weekend days? You will understand how important this is. If you ever buy burger at one of the big box supermarket stores and open the package and find that pool of blood on the bottom of the package or that soggy, soaked up diaper in the bottom of the package, this is because they grind it so far in advance, causing it to have an odor or off taste. Come into the St. Joe Meat Market this week. Treat your family to some fresh ground beef. The brat of the week this week is one of our newest flavors, the smoked French onion brats. Come in and try some for yourself. This week, you can take 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter all week long in limited quantities. Cooking and serving at the brat sale out in front of the St. Joe Meat Market this weekend is the St. Joe Men's Knights of Columbus. Come out on Friday and Saturday, show your support for a great organization while enjoying a brat or a burger and fries and a beverage. The Knights do so much for our community and deserve our support. And the Knights will also be demoing those delicious smoked French onion brats, so you will have an opportunity to sample for free. As always, for more in-store specials at the St. Joe Meat Market, like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or you can always call 320-363-4913 for more information. And thank you from the gang at the St. Joe Meat Market. Mike, for being our guest on the show, and this is how it works. We put up a nice meat package at the St. Joe Meat Market, and along with Chasm, we send that out to you. Hope that you and those around you enjoy it in good health. How does that sound for you?
Oh, I tell you what, the sound of those smoked French onion brats makes me hungry right now.
We'll make sure that there's one of those packages in there for you. And
okay.
You have some family around you that will help you enjoy that meat package?
My wife and I, we head out to a camper near Mankato, Minnesota every so often, and we try to gather together with a bunch of friends out there, so I'm sure they'll make their way out there and we'll put them on the grill. So
that's awesome. And your wife's name?
My wife is Kim.
Kim? Very good. And you guys have been married for how long?
Oh, goodness. It's 13 years now, so, yep.
Oh, my goodness. So you've been in the business a little while. Any children to that marriage?
No, you know, there aren't. Kim and I have known each other for a very long time, though. We actually, we met through the whole music thing as well. Her dad's band was Uncle Ozzy.
Oh, yeah.
And they played at the Ellsworth Polka Festival in Wisconsin one year. And we both happened to be there. My band is playing, and her dad's band is playing. She was in the band, and we met each other for the first time there. That's been a lot of years ago. So it's sort of we've known each other on and off over those years, and reconnected here now in the Twin Cities. So it's just been wonderful.
You bet. Well, getting back to the band business there, and we talked a little bit about Carl and the Country Dutchman band, and I know that is got to be just a thrill to play with that caliber band and on a regular basis. I mean, the venues and everything, it's got to be a lot of fun. But then you had the fortune of getting on the Dorschner band, and how did that come about?
You know, that started, of course, the Ray Dorschner, Rainbow Valley Dutchman. During the 70s, when I first got to know them, it was very much a family involvement there, too, because, of course, Jim was on tuba, Steve Dorschner was on second trumpet, and Randy Dorschner played tenor sax and various things with the band. So Steve, at one point, hurt his back at work and couldn't do the traveling that the band had to do. And I happened to get a call from Ray one time asking whether or not I'd be able to fill in for Steve. So that was in the mid-1980s. And for a lot of years, right up until the band stopped playing, I was Steve's fill-in for a lot of years. So that was a tremendous honor for me.
Did you happen to play the German Fests over in Milwaukee, Wisconsin those years when Ray was playing those?
I did, and I actually, some of the most memorable times that I have of the band, there were several years where both Ray and the Rainbow Valley Dutchman and the Dean Hansen Orchestra from Nebraska, we were both there and both playing in the same tent, the same stage.
My goodness.
And, yeah, both bands would be set up there, and, you know, we'd trade off songs back and forth and play some together, and just absolutely unbelievable. Those are all moments where you have to pinch yourself and go, wow, I can't believe that I actually got to do this, because the level of musicianship is just beyond.
Well, looking back now, we were at that German Fest in the 90s about four different occasions that I can remember. My dad and mom, both living at that time, and then uncle and aunt. And so dad had a conversion van, and we would hop in that thing and drive over there. And we were there the year that Frankie Yankovic celebrated his birthday. We were there the year they had Myron Florin over there. And we would always see the Dorschner band. So I'm sure we got to see you up there. And I think Keith Zwack was the concertina player. And with him and Jimmy and Maya, the antics were always going on. They were just a fun band to watch.
Oh, yeah. You know, one of my favorite stories is actually from German Fest with the Ray Dorschner band. One of the years, I didn't play with them that year. I actually played with Brian Briggan and the Mississippi Valley Dutchman at German Fest that year. But I was watching Ray's band play, and I was standing way at the back of the tent. And that year, the Canadian Brass was hired to do a concert that night in the big amphitheater. And Canadian Brass is a very famous, you know, professional brass group from Canada, just fantastic musicians. And they happened to come up and stand right behind me, and they made a comment at one point listening to Ray's band. They make that look so easy. And then the tuba player from Canadian Brass, of course, was listening to Jim play, and he says, yeah, he makes that sound so easy, but it's not.
Oh, and that was a sad day that year when both Ray and Jim died just a couple weeks after his dad. And Ray was sort of expected, his health was failing, but Jimmy, he just kind of surprised all of us, huh?
Oh, yeah, that was definitely a hard blow.
You bet.
I get tears in my eyes now. I'll hear a song come on, you know, radio or you know, put on a CD or whatever, and it's still hard to get past. But Jens Jensen, another trumpet player with Ray's band, and I were very fortunate to be able to do a few of the arrangements on a new recording that we're working on with the Jolly Brewers. John Dietz is working on putting together a new recording, and there's a few of the Dorschner arrangements that are going to be on that.
So that's exciting.
Jens and I got to do that, so that was a warm feeling from some sad times.
You bet. That's awesome. We'll look forward to that coming out. I'm in contact with John all the time, and we've had him on the show since he took over the Jolly Brewers from Dale Damon. So that's exciting news there. Well, our time has just about run out. Mike, usually ask every guest about this time of the show if there's a memorable moment, and already you shared some great stories there. But as you look back over your career, and boy, you've had a lot of great opportunities performing, is there one that stands out in your mind that you'd want to share with the listeners, good, bad, or otherwise?
Oh, you know, there's a lot that I can't tell because it wouldn't be fair to the parties involved, you know.
Yep.
But when I think back, there's a lot of them. The Durant Polka Fest stands out. Of course, I grew up there and had my band, the Polka Chips, at the time. But I'll never forget in the late 70s, we all played on tall flatbed trailers at the time, and there was a Saturday night, you'd look down the street and they had blocked off three blocks of the main highway through town. And as you look down the street, it was solid people for that entire three block period. And over that particular weekend, I think that was either 1977 or 78, they had over 30,000 people come to the fest over that weekend.
That is awesome.
It's just fantastic, and all the volunteers and all the people that helped put that together. We always got to play for them on Sunday after the fest was over with, and it's just amazing that they could do that with all volunteer help and still have a successful festival with all that. It was just great to see.
You bet. Great story. Well, Mike, our time has run out. Boy, we will have to do this thing again sometime. I always tell everybody, good Lord willing, you and I are here down the road. We'll do this thing again sometime. How's that for you?
I would love to join you again.
Very good. With that, we're going to let you run. I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment and wish you a great day. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, I.
All righty, and there he goes, Mr. Mike Selecki, our 429th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program here on CASM. Don't go away. We've got some music coming up by Carl and the Country Dutchman and the Dorschner Band as well, so don't go away. Larry Razavian is out of town checks with our theme, Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up our 429th edition. Our guest today, a great one, Mike Selecki, great musician, both with Carl and the Country Dutchman and also the Ray Dorschner Band. And we'll hear music by both those bands in just a couple of minutes. Right now, we need to take you back to Holdingford, Mr. Kirby Hemish and his guest at the Boho Cafe. Kirby?
That are very good friends. friends of mine, Bocephus and Horatio, or you can go many different ways.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you want to do.
I love it. And you brought out some festive boho bike wear, too.
Yes, kind of like on wheels marketing.
Sure.
So one of the third legs of the concept we do here, we do a lot of stuff with nature. We did have a nice pollinator patch up on the hillside there for the monarch butterflies and the the bees, which are in danger, as we all know. So we really encourage our folks to come out and go for a walk, have a nice little meal, go for a walk. And some of our jerseys have been designed with our concept was the monarch butterfly, so you can see the butterflies on that bike jersey. This year was the rusty patch bumblebee, which is an endangered species, and it's also the Minnesota bee.
Sure.
And we have a nice bike design coming out here in print to be sold probably in September. That bee.
Mobile marketing. You get those jerseys out on the trail, right?
Yeah, you see them in the cities. You see them up in Duluth. It's just it's kind of neat. And if you're a biker, the jerseys are very precious to you. You know,
sure.
It's kind of like your
Flag.
It's your
basically.
Flag. Yeah,
yeah,
it's your flag. So I'm really excited when I see people biking in with them.
Yeah, credo, basically, just on wheels. Gotta love it.
Yeah.
You had mentioned to me off the air that obviously when the trail's open, you got a busy day like today,
yeah.
You got music, you got art, stuff like that. It's,
yeah.
Times are great, but the winter things slow down a little bit for you.
Yeah, yeah. And we kind of go with the concept. You know, we run this for about 6 months. A year during the nice weather when the trail's open, and then it goes quiet. So we feel like it's a time to rest and recoup and think about next year's concepts. But the building can't rest because you got to pay the heating bill and electric bill and water bill. So we do some venue rentals. So small weddings, anniversaries, you can do some corporate planning, corporate meetings in here. We do run a coffee hour or a coffee morning for on Fridays for the local people or whoever wants to come out.
Yeah, you can't take those cinnamon rolls away from them after you fed them all summer.
they go within withdrawals. So
starting to itch.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a cool place, and the way you like the Big Lebowski, just tied it all together. You know, you with the arts, and then you get the boho. It's right by the froth course. It's right by the trail. You got, you know, you mentioned the butterflies and the bees and stuff like that. It's fun having the, you know, being fortunate enough to make it your way, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's in, like I said, started with a piece of farm ground, dirt, and was able to, okay, let's see where we can go with this. And just the building is a Morton building, right? So we just kind of spiced it up. And just started working on the grounds. We got a lot of wetland areas here,
sure.
So you can see over there those birdhouses and stuff.
Okay.
Not good for much of anything.
No.
But we cut a grass path through there. We put a lot of birdhouses. It's a great walking path. We feed the birds, so the birds are always coming through there. I don't know if you noticed the mural inside.
I did see that.
Yeah. So artist is coming back here in July 24th. He's going to do the other half of the mural.
Cool.
And be with the bird concepts flying. So.
Yeah.
We encourage people to go out and walk around. The pollinators we have planted are just in full bloom, and they're just
perfect
gorgeous.
Here, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just the whole vibe, it's a cool place. I mean, you've clearly got something cooking. It's a busy day.
Literally.
On the inside, literally something cooking. I like that. Greg's got the wit of a radio guy. We might have to sneak him an application before the day is done. But it's, you know, it's great people, and the fact that you're from here and kind of a local guy wanted to come back, and hey, you know what, Holding Fort doesn't really have anything like this. Let's give the Bolas Holding Fort area something they're looking for with boho.
Yeah, the locals are very supportive, and they're our biggest cheering crowd, and we love them, and it's good. It's really good.
Well, I mean, you got a busy afternoon ahead of you. The pizza oven, I would assume that'll be stoked.
Yeah, you're stalling me a little bit on it, but we're going to get to it here.
My bad, man.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
So that's coming this afternoon. He also has live music, some live music now, and then music again, she said at 2, I believe.
Well, we have an a cappella group right now that's giving a vocal performance for a fundraiser for Alzheimer's, and then at 4 o'clock we have a string quartet that's coming out to give a performance. So these are just light listening stuff that... we can have a conversation and enjoy the music in the background.
Sunday afternoon listening, man.
Yeah.
That's the way to do. Ease back into the work week.
Yeah.
Well, Greg, thanks for having me. Encouraging people to come out here, obviously, throughout the afternoon, open till 8, 9 this evening?
Yeah, last order, we'd like to have it in at 7 o'clock.
Sure.
And then,
let him clean it up, and away he goes.
You got it.
Well, thanks for having me, man. It's an awesome place, and all the best. It's a cool place. Best of luck with the build.
Yeah.
Across the yard.
Yeah.
You're doing good things, man. I hope continued success for you guys.
Yeah, well, we'll look to have you come back out again. We look to have a little polka music coming in that last week of September. We got the Blomo family from Albany.
Sure.
They're going to be playing, and we got the local Ostendorf band from Polka Band from Holdingford playing. So we're going to have a nice evening night performance here coming up down the road.
I know just the station to promote that.
I think we
events.
Might have to talk off air.
Perfect. Yeah, yeah. That's what I like to hear. Cy, thanks for letting me interrupt today. You enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Greg, thanks for having me. Have a great day, okay?
Thank you very much.
Great concert. We're here at the... we're here at the Boho Cafe as well as Art in Motion in Holdingford, just north of town. It's tough to miss. There's a big green chair. Is that 4th Street?
Yeah.
4th Street, big green chair, hollowed out car. You can find it. Google Maps as well. Gets you right to the spot. Sorry, back to Albany.
Absolutely, Kirby. Great stuff there. You guys have a great afternoon. All righty, and there they go. Greg Konzer, Kirby Hemish from the Boho Cafe, Art in Motion, out north of Holdingford. We're at 27 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Time for just a couple of selections here by the bands that Mike Selecki had played with. So we're going to start things out with Carl and the Country Dutchman. And this is one that Mike had mentioned off air to me that he really enjoyed playing with Carl. It's one called the Schnapps Polka, Carl and the Country Dutchman. And the Country Dutchman, one called the Schnapps Polka. Some good stuff there. And that was Mike Selecki, one of the trumpet players on that recording. Well, we're in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, and that's always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, Minnesota, Jeannie Bonfig. And yes, she texted me information that she wants you to know. So she says, don't wait. Gather your friends and call today. On August 26th, it's a daycation tour to the Old Log Theater to see the Jimmy Buffett Escape to Margaritaville comedy musical. It's a great day out. Lunch is included. You may want to see the hilarious Church Basement Ladies, their new ninth show, Plowing Through. Tours are heading to the Ames Center in Bloomington, Minnesota on three dates. That's September 13th, September 30th, and October 19th. You don't want to miss this one. And these dates are filling fast, so call Jeannie B's Tour ASAP to reserve seats on any of these tours. And Jeannie's phone number, well, I got a page back and find that. There it is, 320-345-1581. Again, call Jeannie Bees, 320-345-1581 to reserve your seats for your group or friends. Seats are filling fast. Also, August 24th, the Folsom Prison Experience at Le Mazeuk Theater in St. Michael, Minnesota. It's a Johnny Cash tribute show. That's a good one as well. And there's so many, many more. Jeannie's just got a whole itinerary full of shows, and she'll be happy to send you brochures and schedules so that you know just exactly where and when Jeannie is going. Hop on the bus with Jeannie. It'll be, you'll just have it. I mean, you should put it on your bucket list, first of all. And once you've done it, well, you aren't going to want to cross it off because you're going to want to do it again and again. So again, give Jeannie a call, 320-345-1581. Just a fun group to travel with. Jeannie, her good friend Art Timpf, and also friend Estelle. Yes, they do a great job over there at Jeannie B's Tours. Proudly bringing us the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. More music coming up. Another one by Carl and his Country Dutchmen. And this one is one called the Ponderosa Polka. It's a Ray Dorschner arrangement. And Mike Selecki and the guys in on this arrangement. And his Country Dutchman with Mike Selecki on trumpet there, and one called the Ponderosa Polka. As we're in the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM, always brought to us by Kevin's Countryside, home of the Hustler brand Zero Turn Lawnmowers, located 6 miles northwest of St. Joe on County Road 3. The Hustler, the original Zero Turn Lawnmower, helps eliminate the extra trimming and mowing of your lawn. And Kevin, of course, always with new Hustlers in stock. So check out the different engine sizes and mowing deck sizes available to you. And boy, as I drive around the countryside, I am seeing more and more Hustlers around all of the time. So folks are finding out what a great machine it is. And yeah, Kevin, very passionate about selling and servicing those machines. So there's baggers and other attachments always available. Kevin does repair work and all makes and models. He can sharpen your blades, change your lubricants, belts, and hoses. Kevin also accepts trades, so stop in to see what Kevin can do for you today. And the phone number to call to make sure that Kevin's there when you get there is 320-363-7459. Kevin's also taken on that Eagle battery-powered line of equipment, so that's weed trimmers, weed eaters, also the pole saws, pole-type chainsaw, and the backpack blowers, the handheld blowers, all battery-powered by that 56 volt lithium battery. So some good stuff for you there as well. Check that out at Kevin's when you're there as well. He's got a nice display. So Kevin's Countryside, 320-363-7459. Proudly bringing us the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. Time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, and we're going to do that with a Ray Dorschner recording. And of course, Mike played with Ray for quite some time and was on some of the recordings. Here is one that he probably played many times, if not on the recording. It's one called the Rainbow Valley Polka. Ray Dorschner and his Rainbow Valley Dutchman with the Rainbow Valley Polka. Always a good selection. And that was off of actually one of Ray's very early recordings. So Mike wouldn't have been on that particular, but they did record that song again in the later years. Good chance that Mike was on that later recording. I didn't happen to have that one available right now. 20 minutes before the hour, 1 o'clock, temperature reading of 78 degrees here in central Minnesota.